You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Wednesday, May 12th. I am your host, Mike, and boy, do we got a great show for you today. On today's podcast, I'm joined by Safa Dean of the South Florida Sun Sentinel, Miami Dolphins beat reporter, to talk all things Miami Dolphins. We talk about the 2021 draft and the Miami Dolphins additions they made in Waddle, Phillips, Eichenberg, Holland, and more. We talk about the current Miami Dolphins running back room and if we see any changes there and will they possibly add somebody to that group. We talk about the investment the Miami Dolphins have made into their offensive line, the past two drafts, and so much more. We talk all things Miami Dolphins, and you're not going to want to miss this interview. Now, it's Wednesday the 12th. That means that later on today will be the announcement of the Miami Dolphins 2021 schedule, and be sure to check out the website DolphinsTalk.com all day today as we have all the latest rumors, news, updates, and leaks of what the schedule might look like. And then Wednesday evening, myself, Ian Berger, and maybe a few other surprises will have a live podcast you can watch on my Twitter feed at Dolphins Talk, or you can watch on our YouTube page, or just wait for the podcast to drop the next day of our show, the post-draft release schedule show, as we sort of recap, break down, and share our early thoughts on the first glimpse of the Miami Dolphins schedule as soon as that drops later on Wednesday. So for those of you hearing this early on Wednesday, look out for that Wednesday evening. The schedules will drop at 8 p.m. I know they said they're going to announce the week one game early Wednesday morning, so we'll have that up on the site really early. But the full schedule will be out Wednesday evening after 8 o'clock, and our podcast will go live. That's right, we'll do it live Wednesday evening after 8. So right now I'm going to take a quick break, and after the break I'll be joined by Safa Dean of the South Florida Sun Sentinel to talk all things Miami Dolphins. So sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one stop for all things Miami Dolphins. With news, commentary, video, interviews, and the Webby Award-winning DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast, DolphinsTalk.com has you covered on all of the latest happenings surrounding the Miami Dolphins. Whether it's training camp, the draft, free agency, or the current Miami Dolphins season, DolphinsTalk.com has it covered. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to visit the website DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. That's DolphinsTalk.com.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast is Safa Dean from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Safa, how are you doing today?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Excited that the draft is finally over. We're a couple weeks away from since it happened, but man, the buildup to the draft, and you know, as a Dolphins fan, I'm sure all the fans listening now too, there's been so much with the draft the last couple of years just because of the whole rebuilding process, and that 4 months after the season before the draft is always just so highly anticipated, highly frustrating. All of the above, all the emotions you can feel as a football fan. So I'm glad everything's kind of finally settled down now, man. How's everything with you, Mike?
Everything's going great, Safa. Everything's going great. You know, you're so right, though, about the draft. Last year and this year, they had so many picks, Miami, especially rounds one and two. So many picks. I think if they do just rounds one and two in last year's and then this year's, it's like 9 picks altogether. And then next year, they have one pick in round one, one pick in round two, one pick in round three. It's going to seem kind of dull. It's going to be a little boring. But
they're
going
to go back
to
being a boring NFL team, right?
If they win games, nobody's going to care. If they win, everyone will be happy with that. But with this many picks they've had recently in rounds one and two, it's been nonstop. Like, you watch the draft, it's like a big deal for fans of the Dolphins, more so than some other teams per se. But next year is going to be a little bit of a like, okay, got to wait all these time. Where's our pick?
Definitely. And the fact, too, that, you know, we have to remember next year, the 2022 draft, and I really hate you for making me talk about the draft, the 2022 draft in May 2021. But not only the Dolphins have one pick, but it's not even their own pick. They're going to have San Francisco's pick. Yep. So Dolphins fans, keep a track of how San Fran is doing, how Trey Lance is doing as a rookie, how much Jimmy Garoppolo plays if he stays there. Look, I think the Dolphins showed a lot of confidence in themselves, thinking that they're going to have a better record than San Francisco in giving away their own first-round pick in that trade with the Eagles to move up to six. But San Fran's is not going to be a bad team next year. They had just a bad luck with injuries last year with Nick Bosa and a couple guys in their D-line, and they ended up being, you know, I think close to 500 last year. So keep an eye out for San Fran next year, and hopefully they don't have a better record than the Dolphins, so that the Dolphins will pick later on in the first round.
Yeah, San Fran has a really good team, but the NFC West is brutal. The Rams are really good, and they have a new quarterback. Arizona loaded up on a lot of guys this offseason. And then, of course, you got Seattle. I mean, that's a brutal division. And if they go to Lance, mm-hmm. whether it's week one or if they wait to week six or eight or week 10, whenever they go to him, that might be a sign of them sort of waving the white flag. And when that happens, that could help the Dolphins immensely a year from now. But that's a long ways away. So let's talk about more of the current stuff. Pick number six this year, Jalen Waddle. They could have went with Smith. They went with Waddle. What were sort of your thoughts when they were on the clock and the Miami Dolphins selection of Jalen Waddle?
I think first, I think a lot of fans definitely may have experienced or felt some kind of remorse or large remorse from the Dolphins making their trade so early on, maybe like a month before the draft, moving from 3 to 12 to 6, and kind of getting out of the mix for Kyle Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase there. But I think the Dolphins were really comfortable knowing that they might have not have had Ja'Marr Chase or Kyle Pitts. And that's why Jalen Waddle was the target. You know, I kind of agree with the Dolphins and their assessment of the Jalen Waddle pick after the draft. You know, Brian Flores and Chris Greer said that, you know, while they were evaluating Tua, there's one player that often showed up on the film, and that was Jalen Waddle. And look, this kid he's an exciting player. If Pitts was the number one tight end and Ja'Marr Chase was the number one outside receiver, I definitely think Jalen Waddle was the number one slot receiver. And just because he plays slot doesn't mean the Dolphins can't play him outside too. He's that dynamic. He's that scary. When he gets the football in the hand, special things happen. And I think one of my favorite games to kind of look back and see him play is the Auburn. He played Auburn in 2019. So that was the year Tua got hurt. He only touched the ball, I think, four or five times. And there was only one time he didn't score a touchdown out of the times he touched the ball. So you're talking about an electric playmaker, a guy who's one of the fastest. He's going to be one of the fastest guys in the NFL next season. And that kind of got me back to what Tua said last year, which was, hey, we have only one really, really fast guy on the team, and that's Jakeem Grant. But outside of that, I have to throw 50-50 balls to DeFonte Parker and Mike Gesicki. And this was after Preston Williams got hurt, too. So the Dolphins, they heard Tua. They heard that he wanted some speed on the outside. And while the Dolphins may not say they admitted it, they definitely wanted to add speed this offseason to the roster. Jalen Waddle and Will Fuller and even Robert Foster are all speedy, fast guys that you're hoping to get quick, that Tua can just throw the ball down the field. They catch it in stride, and they're in the end zone. That's the hope. That's the vision. And I think Jalen Waddle, he's so much of an exciting player that I think Dolphins fans are definitely going to fall in love with him.
Yeah, absolutely. And they did reshape this wide receiver room this offseason with who they took in the draft, obviously. Will Fuller, like you said, and plus they will get the return of the guys who opted out last year. And they have a lot of wide receivers on this roster. Obviously, everyone can't make this team. They got a lot of young guys like Lynn Bowden Jr., Waddle, obviously, Malcolm Perry. Do you think they're going to let these guys all show up in camp and sort of fight it out? Or could some of these guys possibly be moved, released prior to training camp? You there, Safed?
Yeah, I'm right here. Sorry about that.
No, no, you're fine.
Yeah, if the Dolphins see enough of these guys in the veteran minicamp coming up here in the later weeks of May and early June, it probably could open the door for some guys to be released before training camp. But I think everybody knows they're on the chopping block and they're on notice. You know, guys like Albert Wilson and Allen Hurns, who opted out for COVID-19 reasons last year. Albert Wilson looks really good. I've seen him work out a couple times. He's progressing really, you know, to a much better level than he was when he first suffered the hip injury in 2018. But you mentioned a bunch of guys, Lynn Bowden Jr., Malcolm Perry. There's going to be a bunch of guys that end up on the practice squad. There's going to be a bunch of guys that end up on this roster. And there's going to be a bunch of guys that actually don't make the team. And the Dolphins really went out of their way to try to remake and kind of renovate, I would say, this wide receiver room. You're still hoping Devontae Parker makes a big impact, and he has during his career despite the injuries. You're hoping Preston Williams can stay healthy for longer than 8 games. He's had two, you know, injuries that just have ended the season, and they've been unfortunate. But, you know, there's going to be a point where he breaks through. You're hoping Will Fuller stays healthy enough as well, too. You know, he was on his way to playing all games last year before his PED suspension. Lynn Bowden Jr., you're hoping that he can learn the playbook more and be a little bit more comfortable than he was as a rookie, although he did get some opportunities last season, too. And you're looking for, you know, guys like Jaylen Waddle to kind of show out and be the missing pieces that kind of open everything up for everybody else. So I'm excited to see how this room unfolds. I'm excited to see how the veterans, you know, kind of find their place there. And I'm excited to see who really sticks around.
Yeah, it's going to be something to watch here in the coming weeks and months in the lead up to training camp and the season. Pick 18, Jalen Phillips from the University of Miami. They needed an edge rusher, Miami, in the worst way. And they got the top one on the board in the eyes of many. They were the first team to take an edge rusher in this draft. And it makes a lot of sense. I think it's a home run pick. What were your thoughts on the selection of Jalen Phillips?
My first thought was, if your name was Jalen, the Dolphins were going to draft you.
That's right.
on the first night of the draft. That was my first thought. And, yeah, like you mentioned, first edge rusher off the board. I think that probably couldn't have gone any better for Miami in that sense that they had arguably who many people believe is the best pass rusher in this draft, fall to him at number 18. This was such a unique draft because of the quarterbacks and the wide receivers at the top of the draft.
And a tight end.
The tight end. You know, and very few linebackers. You know, there was Micah Parsons, a couple cornerbacks there, but very few D linemen. And so for the Dolphins to take the first one off the board, I thought that was pretty surprising just in the history of drafts altogether. Jalen Phillips, we're going to have that come up plenty of times during their careers here in Miami where you mix up the Jalens. But I think the one thing that really stands out to me about Jalen Phillips is he plays with a motor and a tenacity about him that it seems to never turn off. And it's probably your favorite thing about him when you watch some film of him at UM and things like that is he's always trying to get after it. He's always trying to get around his linemen, and he's always trying to create some chaos and havoc. And that's what the Dolphins have needed. You know, Shaq Lawson was a really good piece for them last year. And I think maybe some of the work that he did allowed Emmanuel Ogbah to get, you know, 9 sacks last year. But more importantly, too, we have to look at Emmanuel Ogbah filled a big role for this defense last year. And Dolphins have been missing a defensive end, you know, ever since Cam Wake was out of here in 2018. And even Jason Taylor before that, you know. So the Dolphins have always kind of, as long as I've known them, always had a real big standout defensive end who was always mentioned, you know, in the lead up before every game and a guy that all the teams looked at and were like offensive lines have to look for him. And hopefully Jalen Phillips, you know, becomes that for the Dolphins here. We obviously saw how he revived his career with the Hurricanes and he has a lot of potential. And I'm hoping that, you know, the Dolphins can help him reach his potential because defensive end and edge rusher, that's really the missing piece in the Flores defense. And it seems like they might have got a player that can fill that role.
Yeah, and it looks like on that side of the ball, just overall, looks to be even, I don't want to say improved over last year because there were a lot of changes, but that was the one thing that wasn't there last year. Shaq Lawson's a great player, but he's not a guy who will sort of line up, put his hand in the dirt, and get after a quarterback down after down after down like this kid has the potential to do. And I think with adding a middle linebacker like they did in McKinney, and then him here. I just think that side of the ball has much more potential than it did last year. And it was very good last year, but I think it can be even better this year.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something the Dolphins wanted to achieve this offseason too, and not say that the defense last year was the top of the pinnacle or, stop building from that point. I think the Dolphins were really, really, really lucky to get Xavier Howard for 16 games last year and for him to lead the NFL in interceptions. Let's knock on wood and see if Xavier can produce just like that or close to it, even if that. You obviously need to see more from Byron Jones. He's probably the biggest and most important piece for me this year on defense because Byron Jones played solid football, but there was two games specifically, the Vegas game and the Cardinals game, where he nearly lost the game for the Dolphins, which allowing some touchdowns there too. So I want to see him make a kind of a big step and just play a little bit more consistently. I like the linebacker moves. I think they try to transform the linebacker position to add some depth behind, Landon Roberts, who may not be available early this season. And also you're trying to hope to free up Jerome Baker for some free rushing opportunities. I think he's probably the best player on this defense, not named Xavier Howard. And then you're hoping for the D-line to kind of come through. I think this defense definitely has a potential to kind of touch where it did last year, where it was the top-ranked defense for a good amount of the season and led the NFL in turnovers last year.
Yep. Now, we got to talk about the big story of draft weekend. As fans, media members, everyone was asking, what are the Miami Dolphins? What are they doing with running back? Running back, we didn't take a running back early. We didn't take one in the middle of the draft. Running back. What are your thoughts, I guess, on the current Miami Dolphins running back room as it sits today on May 11th as we record this? And do you think they're done adding pieces to this room?
Done? No. I think content for the meantime, yes. But I think if there's a street free agent out there that the Dolphins should consider, maybe like a guy like Kerryon Johnson or something like that, if a guy becomes available, I think the Dolphins should definitely consider him and try to bring that person in before training camp. As we always learned over the years, man, that training camp injuries happen. Some guys are out for the season. Some guys are out for, almost half the season. And if you don't go and pick up a player, and then at that point too, players are not available because they're already on other teams. So I'm hoping the Dolphins try to avoid that. And if they see somebody they like this offseason, go get them. But yeah, that was the best part about the draft, and especially the lead up to day two, where they had the fourth pick in the second round, and you're watching to see, all right, are the Jets going to pick somebody? Are the Falcons going to pick a running back? Oh, great, the Falcons. Not only did they take Kyle Pitts, now they traded to Denver, and Denver took the running back, and which is great, too, because Denver wanted Jalen Phillips as well. So, some real great AFC, battles there between Denver and the Dolphins. As you know, the Denver GM is used to work in Miami. He's close with Chris Greer.
Yep.
So that's some fun inside, football knowledge there and it's fun to see that happen. But, I think the Dolphins, they missed out on running back, not this year, but last year. In the 2019 draft. I've had somebody tell me that, the Dolphins were on the phone with J.K. Dobbins. And he was the target. J.K. Dobbins came to the facility before COVID shut down everything. I think they were really targeting him. No, excuse me. They were really targeting him, last year in the draft. And when he got taken by the Baltimore Ravens, one pick before the Dolphins ended up with Raekwon Davis, that was the area where I felt like the Dolphins would have got a running back there. I think if we look back on the running back position, it should be noted that the Dolphins missed out on a running back in a draft where there were like six guys that went in the top two rounds. And yep, it was a draft where they had the most picks in the whole entire draft. But also, we really don't know. I mean, we don't know if the Dobbins pick would have happened. We don't know if Javon A. Williams was going to happen because, they really coveted Javon Holland, the safety they got in the second round this year. And then Miles Gaskin is a seven rounder. They picked up another seven rounder in Jared Doakes, I believe his name is.
Yep.
You got Patrick Laird, you got Savon Ahmed, who had, 100-yard rushing game last year, a 75-yard game also. So they might like who they have. And I would say of all the running back coaches in the league, Eric Stoops will definitely get some credit from me. I mean, the guy coached Marshawn Lynch. He obviously knows talent. And it's been unfortunate for him because he's been doing so much background research on all these running backs and the Dolphins are not picking them. But I think the Dolphins, they believe they're okay at running back. And I think when you have guys like Waddle and Fuller, I think teams are going to know that Tua is going to be passing the ball. And that's going to help open up the run game a little bit because they're going to be worried about the pass, that these guys can run, and there's hope that the offensive line improves enough for the run game as well.
Yeah, and I think worst-case scenario, if someone is on the market, they can sort of hop on them. But, you know, there's some older guys out there like Peterson, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell. They're probably going to be unsigned heading into September, I would guess, or maybe, you know, mid-August, late August. If they really wanted someone else to add to that room, one of those type of guys who are, yes, they're older, a lot of wear and tear on them, they'll probably be available. But if they can get someone like a Johnson who was released by the Lions and claimed by Philadelphia, someone of that nature, I'm sure would be their priority, would be their preference. But there's going to be like an older type guy if they felt like they had to add someone who should be out there, you know, late into the summer, I would think.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's definitely somebody out there that if they wanted, they could have had already.
Yep.
Or if they're still available, they can go get.
Yep. So they didn't trade up for a running back, but they did trade up for an offensive lineman with Liam Eichenberg. And you look at this offensive line now between last year's draft and this year's draft, you got a first-round pick in Austin Jackson, 2 second-round picks in Eichenberg and Hunt, and obviously a 4th-round pick in Solomon Kinley, which was another person they traded up for in round 4. They have a lot of youth and a lot of early draft capital invested in this offensive line heading into this year. Eichenberg, will see if he starts early on or if they wait and sort of ease him in the lineup. But this offensive line has a lot of new faces. Well, not a lot of new faces. They have some new faces. And you also got Fluker and you have the center, Matt Skira. What do you think about this newly shaped offensive line and all the youth on this offensive line?
First of all, I appreciate the fact that the Dolphins continue to address the offensive line. I appreciate the fact that they didn't see how it unfolded last year and were like, okay, let's run it back with these guys. I appreciated the fact that they got a better center. I think Matt Sakura is probably a better center than Ted Karras. And I appreciate the fact that they got a guy like DJ Fulker who could, you know, bring a lot of veteran experience, can play right tackle. You know, if Liam's not ready or if Jesse Davis is hurt, but I appreciate the depth, and that's probably something that the Dolphins offensive line hasn't had in my years covering the team is true depth. Talented players, draft picks, players with potential, and then instead of kind of running-the-mill offensive linemen all over the board that you're expecting to start and play every snap and play in 16, 17 games. So it all starts up front, and I think the Dolphins definitely believe that. And I think more importantly, too, the offensive line, more importantly than running the football, they've got to protect Tua Tagovailoa. He's the biggest piece in this whole puzzle here. The rebuild is going to hinge on how Tua progresses and how he develops in the NFL. And if you heard anything from Russell Wilson all offseason and learned anything from Ryan Tannehill's time here with the Dolphins hope this offensive line can keep Tua upright, can give him time in the pocket, can give the receivers time to get open, and not even that too, can get some push when you're running the football so that whoever runs the football back there can get some room and some yards to gain because you don't have some true top-tier talent in that running back room. So there's a lot of onus on this offensive line to improve, and I think Austin Jackson, Solomon Kinley, and Robert Hunt, they should all take a jump in their second year. I'm excited to see where Jesse Davis falls in the line there. Omar Kelly and I are big fans of Jesse Davis. We're part of the Jesse Davis fan club. a great guy altogether, man. A little stiff as a tackle, but he gets the job done. And I really hope he kind of sticks around. And if he's the swing tackle or the right tackle to be, I would love that too. Interested in seeing the second round rookie. Notre Dame linemen have always kind of, you know, had a reputation of being really good. You know, hopefully he sticks there right tackle and he can protect to his blind side. And the Dolphins have pieces and they're trying to find the 5 best pieces. They're going to let those guys compete and they're going to hope that together, by all of those guys working together, they become a stronger unit all together. That's the hope, that's the vision. And it's really going to start there for the Dolphins offense. If Tua can stay upright, they can get some push in the run game. The Dolphins should really be on their way to building something special if this offensive line can get it together.
Yeah, now that we're sort of past free agency in the draft, and you sort of have a general idea what each team is now as we sort of head into the summer and head into training camps here in a few months, do you think the Miami Dolphins have done enough to close the gap between themselves and the Buffalo Bills and the AFC East?
Done enough? No, but I say this with, you know, not trying to discourage Dolphins fans or sound negative here, but the Dolphins have a lot of work to do.
A lot of youth.
They have a lot of youth, and Buffalo is not as young. And Buffalo's experience from being on the brink of playoffs in 2019 to actually reach an AFC title game in 2020, I mean, that's a big jump. That's steady progression that happens with continuity, with the same players in place, with a vision in mind that we're trying to attack and go to the playoffs here. You know, I think the Dolphins are a year behind Buffalo in that sense. You know, the Dolphins, they didn't do well against Buffalo at all last year. They haven't done well against Buffalo since Flores has been the coach, 0-4 since that. But Buffalo is the barometer. They have to measure themselves up against the Bills and compete in the AFC East against them. And they can't let them beat them. That's most important. So from that point on, I want to see Buffalo's the barometer. I have to see how they play against them. And you're hoping that the Dolphins, maybe not this year, but also next year, seeing everything kind of coagulate all together, taking the next step altogether after rebuilding into competing in the AFC East and, you know, in the playoff race. That's the next step in this Dolphins rebuild, is getting these guys to play together, grow together. And you have to remember, we all have to remember that these guys are first-year, second-year players. They're not veterans. They're not here for a long time. There's some veterans on the team, yes, but this team, this core at its heart, is full of young players, and these guys are going to need time to develop and grow. Rookies and second-year players don't go and win Super Bowls. That's what Tom Brady does in his 85th year in the NFL. So it's going to take some time. It's going to take some coaching. It's going to take some growing pains. It may take some bad losses last year. You know, I think the Dolphins, if they make the playoffs this year, it's going to be as a wild card. But still, making the playoffs should be an accomplishment as well, especially after going 10-6 last year. So we'll see how they do. I think Dolphins done plenty. And the last piece would be a running back for me. But they've done a lot, and now they just have to put it together. And this is where you're hoping that Flores and his coaching staff, primarily this offensive, you know, these two offensive coordinators, you're really hoping that they can take this team to the next level here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so as well. If they make the playoffs this year, that is an accomplishment, because the Miami Dolphins are a franchise that have, you know, in recent history, are one that makes the playoffs consistently. And I think before you can think big, you got to take the first step. And the first step is make the playoffs. And then the next step is make the playoffs year after year, and then sort of get on that sort of trend, that upward trajectory to where you want to go. And they won 10 games last year, and it's rare that if you win 10 games, you don't make the playoffs, but they didn't make the playoffs, and that's what matters. So hopefully this year they can. Last question, and I'm going to let you go. And I have to ask it because I don't think the story's over yet, and that's about Watson. I think this story's just on pause. I don't know how it's going to play out. Maybe he ends up in jail. Maybe he pays some people a whole bunch of money, and he makes it all go away. Whether it's later this summer or whether it's next offseason, 2022, do you think the Watson to Miami rumors are done, squashed, and over? Or do you think this story is just on pause until things are obviously cleared up?
You know, I'll probably generalize this a little bit more, and not to get into Deshaun Watson specifically.
Yeah.
But I would say that Tua Tagovailoa had 9 starts where he did not have as many games as Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert played, but people believe that he lacked the luster that Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, you know, provided as rookies last year. Tua was coming off a major hip injury. Those other two guys were not. Those other two guys also have very, very established receiving threats, whereas the Dolphins have Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, and Mike Gesicki, and nothing else after that. And all three of those guys got injured last year. But more importantly, too, the Dolphins have multiple first-round picks. And that's really the big kicker here, is that the Dolphins have the picks to go and make a trade. So as long as the Dolphins have, you know, first-round picks in 2023 that they can part with, and if they want to get rid of their 2022 first-round picks, I think that will always be a conversation, whether it's Deshaun Watson, whether it's Russell Wilson, whether it's Aaron Rodgers. And it's always going to be a conversation because you don't know how much Tua has improved until you see him on the field next season. So that's probably the simple answer that I can give you there. The Dolphins have extra first-round picks, and because they have it as kind of like a threshold there. They kind of, you know, looked out, and maybe they're hedging their bet a little bit. But because the picks are there, the talk will always be there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think because the picks are there, the talk's always going to be there. And it's not even an indictment on Tua. With maybe the exception of like five or six guys, this conversation would be there with any quarterback because Watson's so good. It's just, yeah, I don't think it's over yet. He's clearly not. He won't head back to Houston. I don't think they want him. I don't think he wants to go there. And once again, who knows how this is going to play out? There's a million ways it could play out over the next few months or next year. But I don't think that story's over. And I know fans get upset when they hear that story, but it's something that, you know, I don't think we've heard the last of, because he's going somewhere. At some point. What that some point is, I don't know, and where that somewhere is, I don't know. It could be the Broncos, it could be Philadelphia, or it could be Miami. I think they're in the mix there. But that's a whole nother something else for another day, I guess. Safed, thanks so much for a few moments every time. Everyone, be sure to read Safed Dean at the South Florida Sun Sentinel and follow him on Twitter at Safed_Dean. Safed, have a good one. I'm sure we'll talk to you again down the road.
Mike, thanks so much, man. I'm sure we will too.
All right. You have a good day.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.